Zacchaeus was disliked and resented by his entire community. He was wealthy and had gained that wealth through dishonest means, but his wealth did not save him from feeling lonely, empty, and desperate. We see his desperation the day that he tried every strategy he could think of to get a glimpse of Jesus. And then when he met Jesus, he found out something so wonderful that he eagerly let go of all he had gained through dishonesty and extortion in order to turn and embrace something far more precious and valuable. Through Jesus, Zacchaeus found out about the inheritance that belongs to all of us as part of the family of God. Do you know about the inheritance? Do you know that you are in line to receive precious gifts from God, which will secure your future for all eternity? Do you know that even now, to the extent that you welcome God's Spirit into your life, you are already in a position to enjoy and benefit from your inheritance? If this comes as news to you, or even if you knew about it but could bear reminding, please listen now to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. So how about that? Not a single one of us has been written out of the will. God wants to fill all of us with God's Spirit so that all can be assured of our place in God's household, and all of us can begin right now to live as God's people of grace. God has riches in store for all of us. Riches which God is already dispensing. Riches of hope. Riches of belonging and being loved. Riches of life which cannot be destroyed. Riches of a kingdom which is characterized by peace and healing and mercy and food for all. No wonder Zacchaeus' money, representing his greed and his selfishness, seemed like a hindrance once he had met Jesus and gotten a glimpse of the life that he could be living. No wonder he wanted to start over by emptying himself of his old ways in order to be able to reach for and receive what God was already trying to give him. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus observed when he heard Zacchaeus' declaration of a new beginning. If we understand salvation to be a journey from estrangement to communion, if we know that salvation includes being liberated from the misguided obsessions that so easily entangle and ruin our lives, if we grasp that salvation implies freedom from fear, we can agree. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house, and salvation can come to our house as well. Zacchaeus' example, his radical transformation from being someone who grabs to someone who gives, may seem extreme, but it is no more startling or breathtaking than transformations and examples of graciousness that occur in our world today. Consider this astounding story from Rwanda, where in 1994, 800,000 people were killed in a horrible frenzy of violence directed by one ethnic group toward another. Josephine Murabuyari is a Tutsi survivor of that rampage. She today is the mother of six orphan children that she raised in the years since 1994, children who lost their parents in the cataclysm. When you know what Josephine has been through, you can't help but be amazed that she can still exhibit a will to live, let alone have the strength to nurture others. It was Josephine's Hutu neighbors, whose children had grown up playing with her children, who tipped off the killers when they came into that part of the city. Josephine's neighbors, who had pointed the crowd with machetes in the direction of Josephine and her family. Josephine's husband and all six of their children were murdered. She herself was hacked repeatedly with machetes and left for dead. When she regained consciousness, she cried out to God in despair that she had survived. "Why did you let me live?" Without her family, she did not want to be alive. She was bitter and unbearably angry. But gradually, she began to contemplate the idea that if her life had been spared for a reason, if God had somehow managed to keep her alive, the reason could not be for something so mean and so ugly as vengeance. She decided that she would do whatever she could and continues to do whatever she can to help her people start again, taking in orphans, raising a new family, participating in the community, rebuilding the bonds of society. It looks to me like the thing that helps people choose life is an awareness of the inheritance that we have from God. If we belong to God's kingdom, or to say it another way, if God's kingdom belongs to us, then we are free to find a purpose in our lives other than violence and revenge, a purpose other than greed and manipulation, a purpose other than accumulation and acquisition. If God's kingdom already belongs to us, we can draw on the riches of its compassion and restorative power to secure our present and our future. If God's kingdom already belongs to us, we are not without hope, we are not without love, we are not without help. In ordinary circumstances, receiving an inheritance can have connotations of sorrow because someone we love is no longer with us in the same way that they once were. Receiving an inheritance can imply responsibility because we want to be good stewards of what we have received. We want to carry out the loved one's wishes. Receiving an inheritance also, of course, generates gratitude because someone has loved us enough to plan for our future and contribute to our well-being. The inheritance that we receive from God is similar. It does not protect us from grief, but it does give us resources for a future beyond what we may have expected or anticipated. God is so generous with us, in fact, that if we choose to do so, we are able to live in freedom, without fear, and open to joy, no matter what our past has been. Today, we celebrate the hope to which God has called us, the riches of God's glorious inheritance as we are counted among the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power for all who believe. Let's pray together. to know you in all of your glory, to love you with all that I am, with all of my heart, Lord, this is my prayer, to know you more. Dear God, there's always so much more for us to know about you, so much more for us to know about your church and about ourselves and about this world. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have taught us thus far and all that you have yet to reveal to us. May the knowledge of the riches of our inheritance from you cause us to live in perfect freedom with kindness and generosity toward others. We join now in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.